As we continue to celebrate this great season of Christmas, we are in the 12 days, which is the height of our celebration. We very fittingly have the Feast of the Holy Name of Jesus. And I'm sure you've noticed that the gospel for today is the same as the gospel for January 1st. It's a very short gospel. And it's about the bestowal of the name of Jesus. And according to my understanding, that it was at a boy's circumcision that his name was formally bestowed upon him. And this was a prefigurement of the sacrament of baptism. And it works the same way, where already a child has a name. Most of the time, sometimes it's only after the birth the parents finally decide on the name, but it's formally bestowed, you might say, in the baptism, which is why, of course, the priest uses a Christian name. It has to be a Christian name, a name of a saint, bestowed in baptism. And I ask parents to always prayerfully consider, you know, which saint does your child, would be most appropriate for your child to look up to? That child will have that baptismal name his or her whole life and will need to have recourse to the baptismal patron throughout life. And this also is a reminder to me of the great power of Saint Joseph, because as the adopted father of Jesus, he had that role of bestowing the name of Jesus in his circumcision. Our Lady bestowed it too. The angel Gabriel had told her it would be given, but Saint Joseph and Our Lady bestowing that name because it was directed to them to do so from heaven itself. And it's the name of Savior. That is what Jesus means, Savior. We're reminded of the second commandment today: thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And this is why we have such great reverence for the name of God, the name of Jesus. And Catholic practice is to bow our heads reverently when we hear the name of Jesus. And you'll see this exemplified in the liturgy. Every time the priest says the name of Jesus, if he's in the middle of the altar or on the epistle side, he bows to the crucifix to show his reverence for the holy name. If he doesn't do it at the gospel because he's facing away from the tabernacle, but he's reverencing the name of Jesus that is there in the book. And actually, the priest is directed to do this at the holy name of Mary itself, or in addition. We know that there's a separate feast for the holy name of Mary. And because the name is the identity of someone, it is proper to say that Jesus is his adorable name, because it is his identity. He is Jesus Christ. We're reminded also that to take the name of God or Jesus in vain is to commit a sin. If somebody does it out of surprise or anger, the Catechism said it's at least a venial sin, but if there's any element of scandal added, and that, you have to remember, older people, you know, we have that duty to avoid the sin of scandal, or if there's any disrespect intended, then it's more than just a venial sin. It's a serious sin. So, you know, I feel like saying, you know, to anybody that doesn't take reverence the name of God, what part of that second commandment do you not understand? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You know, Orthodox Jews, and of course they do not have the true faith because they reject Jesus, We're told today in the epistle, there's no other, it's only through the name of Jesus that we can be saved. If you reject Jesus, you reject salvation. But anyway, and this is a misinterpretation of Old Testament teaching, but they feel that they can't even say the name of God. And they're sometimes write God as G-D. And that's an exaggeration. It's not necessary to take it to that extreme, to not, neither say the full name of God or to write the full name of God. That's not wrong. It's just to take it in vain. In other words, where there's lack of respect, that's when it is a sin. So a great feast today, then. We're reminded again of the power of this holy name. It's all part of the Christmas season. And we should have a great devotion to the name of Jesus. And often say it in life. And when we're in dying, we want to say the name of Jesus. The church grants the apostolic blessing, which is the forgiveness of all purgatory time at the hour of death. But the two conditions for that is the person has to say the name of Jesus. And if he or she cannot say it verbally, at least they have to say it in the heart. And the other condition is to accept death as a punishment for sin. It's the last act of penance that we all must do. Accept death whenever it should come to us. We see also that in the lives of the martyrs when they were dying, how did they get the strength to go through their torments? They kept saying the name of Jesus and Mary. If I'm not mistaken, there was a story from the Japanese martyrs of a little boy who, you know, with his family were martyred for the faith, and his mother told him, just keep saying the name of Jesus and Mary in the martyrdom that we're going to undergo until you see them in heaven. And of course, then we'll be saying the names of Jesus and Mary with the greatest praise and love throughout all eternity, praising these names. Speaking of the epistle for today, again, that referencing what I said earlier, there is no salvation in any other name. And I remember a Protestant accosting me on this point because of, I believe we're talking about the honor we give to Our Lady. And I've spoken a lot about this recently, that this is part of God's plan. Because he came through this spotless Virgin Mother, it is eminently proper that we go to him through her. And Jesus put himself into a condition of complete dependence on Mary. We imitate Christ when we practice that dependence on Mary in our daily spiritual life, entrusting ourselves to her, asking her to form us in Christ's image, to raise us spiritually, just as she raised Christ, even though he didn't need it. He put himself into that condition of being raised by her. And I remember a Protestant saying, go look at Acts chapter 4, verse 12. There is no other name given to men by which we must be saved. And because it happened so long ago, I don't remember what my response was, but it would have been, or should have been, I couldn't agree with you more. It's as though they think that we're saying we are saved through the name of Mary and not through the name of Jesus. Au contraire. We are saved through the name of Christ, but Christ wants us to have this devotion to Mary. She leads us to him. We never subtract. They think of it as if you bring up Mary that all of a sudden you're subtracting from Christ. No, you're adding because Christ, because our Blessed Mother leads us to Jesus. So, This This epistle that we have today is St. Peter speaking to the people who had just witnessed a miracle. And this part is not in today's epistle, so I want to share this with you from the Acts of the Apostles. This is chapter 3. And we notice this is chapter 4. So what happened in chapter 3 that prompted St. Peter to give this sermon on the power and necessity of the holy name of Jesus? Chapter 3 tells us this. Now Peter and John went up into the temple at the ninth hour of prayer. It shows them going to church to pray during the mid to late afternoon, or mid to later afternoon, you might say. And a certain man who was lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, that he might ask alms of them that were in the temple. So he had never walked. Imagine yourself being in that situation. You had never walked in your life, and you have to beg at the temple gate, please help me. Please, and his parents would bring him there, or at least others did if his parents were no longer living. He, when he had seen Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked to receive an alms. But Peter, with John, fastening his eyes upon him, said, "Look upon us." But he looked earnestly upon them, hoping that he should receive something of them. But Peter said, "Silver and gold I have none, but what I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk." And taking him by the right hand, he lifted him up, and forthwith his feet and soles received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and went in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. He couldn't refrain from jumping. I don't think any of us could refrain. If you had never walked before, you're just so exuberant with joy. I'm sure St. Peter said, "Well, we're in the temple now, so wait till we get outside. Don't keep jumping now." But he went in to give thanks to God. And St. Peter actually begins the sermon there in chapter 3, and he says, "Ye men of Israel, why wonder you at this, or why look upon us as if by our strength or power we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you indeed delivered up and denied before the face of Pilate when he judged he should be released. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you." So St. Peter is taking this opportunity to tell the Jewish people, we did this by the power of him whom you rejected and crucified. But there's time for you to repent. Again, showing we have to profess faith in Jesus Christ and his holy church in order to save our souls. Without it, there is no salvation. That's the choice that God gives to everyone. We have to believe in Christ. He is Almighty God in human flesh. How can anyone not believe him? How can anyone reject him? Truly their own miserable fault if they do so. But what I also got out of this is the charity that St. Peter and St. John exercised by working this miracle. This is one of many miracles the apostles worked. And this was all part of the plan initially, that not only would our Lord work spectacular miracles, but his apostles would also, showing that they were fulfilling the mission that he gave to them. And it was true. St. Peter, the apostles, they were poor. They didn't own money personally. Here they are, don't have money. But what they could do is give this man something beyond what anybody else could do, work a miracle. Through the name of Jesus. Never forget the power of the name of Jesus. It's miraculous. In our times, really in any time of the church, we need to have a strong devotion to the names of Jesus and Mary. Call upon them. Read about it. Read about the saints that propagated the devotion to the holy name. But here, charity. They did what they could. I couldn't help but think of this seemingly endless lockdown that we've been going through, how difficult it has been for society. We are social beings. It is the cost in misery that the lockdowns have inflicted upon people. Now, I realize, again, to minimize the spread, I understand that, but sometimes it seems to go overboard. But we should also have this attitude that St. Peter had in today's miraculous happening. We need to do works of charity. We may not have thousands of dollars to give away, but what we can do, we ought to do. Are we consciously thinking about this in this seemingly endless lockdown? What can I do to help others? Many people are suffering. We're suffering. We're suffering from lack of that human interaction. People have lost jobs or have had their earning ability severely diminished. Look for ways. Be like St. Peter. You may not have the money to give to them, but there's other things you can do. I think of all of the people that are locked up in the retirement homes. And you've no doubt read stories of people just dying. They're giving up on life because their families can't see them anymore. You can write cards. You can perhaps do telephone calls. Maybe send a care package. And it's not just them, but everyone else that is suffering in this time. Remember, we will be judged on the works of mercy. Jesus will ask us, did you feed the hungry? Did you give drink to the thirsty? And there's not only the 7 corporal works of mercy, the 7 spiritual works of mercy. So as we begin this new year, let's take these opportunities as we are able. Again, silver and gold I have not, but what I can do, I give to you. Let us do those spiritual and corporal works of mercy. It is truly the hallmark of followers of Jesus Christ. So a blessed Christmas season to you, a grace-filled new year, and remember the power of the name of Jesus, the power of the name of Mary, to help us in our spiritual and our temporal necessities. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.